wash, the hyptronic groove of the Disco H2O, or the cosmic rush of the black hole, the Next Generation. Right now at Wet n' Wild, Florida residents can get a full day of pulse-pounding thrills for just $32 plus tax with a valid Florida ID. So if you're looking for pure exhilaration, look no further than the park named by the Travel Channel as one of America's most extreme water parks. Wet n' Wild, in Orlando, or on the web at wetandwildorlando.com.
Announcing the Clearwater Marine Aquarium's pay for a day and come back free all summer. Florida residents, kids, admission only, $5.95. Take the Sea Life Safari Boat Tour and visit Winter, the world famous dolphin with the prosthetic tail. Open Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5, Friday and Saturday, 9 to 7, and Sunday, 10 to 5. The Clearwater Aquarium is located on Island Estates on your way to beautiful Clearwater Beach. Call 441-1790, that's 441-1790, or go to seawinter.com. That's SEEWinter.com.
Announcing the grand opening of the Clearwater Travel Lodge on US 19 next to Lenny's Deli at Drew Street and 19. The Clearwater Travel Lodge is under new ownership and has been completely remodeled and renovated. The Clearwater Travel Lodge has clean, upgraded rooms. Call 727-451-8900. 451-8900. Call the Clearwater Travel Lodge at 727-451-8900. Clean, upgraded rooms now at the new Clearwater Travel Lodge.
Tampa Bay's 10 Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
I'll be alone each and every night. While you're away, don't forget to write.
Bye-bye, so long, farewell. Bye-bye, so long. See you in September.
To Reality Check Live with Mike and Clary and Lawrence. Today is our last show until September, and this will be our new time slot at KLRG 880 at a Little Rock. Good morning, Clary. Good morning, Lawrence.
Good morning.
And good morning, Clary and Mike. And Arkansas area, really excited. Two things to look forward to in a couple months. One, football season. Number two, Reality Check back in that 50,000-watt blowtorch in Arkansas area.
You know, we are excited about the change because the next 2 months, Clary and I have a lot on our plate. We're relocating to the island of Trinidad. We'll be doing some mission work, radio, and also doing our show Reality Check Live from there.
We're not actually relocating. We're going for 3 months.
Well, for 3 months for now, we don't know what the future holds. But who knows, Clary? We may go from Trinidad to India to China. Reality Check is becoming international.
The sky may fall in 3 months. Give us a break. We're going for 3 months.
Lawrence, she doesn't have the foresight I have. Can you help us here?
Well, no. I'm kind of counting on you, Mike. If things get much worse here in this great country, or what's left of it, I might need a place to go. So I was kind of looking forward to Trinidad or that part of the world.
Well, wherever we are, Lawrence, we will make a place for you. And I want to thank you because when I was at a liberal station in Bradenton, I never worked with what they call the progressive liberals. I never even heard of them. And this is probably about 3 years ago. And I remember I was talking about subjects that are dear to my heart, the cultural issues. And they used to call me up and beat the daylights out of Clary and I. They got nasty. They broke into the studio twice trying to hit us. And then I remember one particular day I went outside and I said, I smell a barbecue. Where's the ribs and chicken? And I was accused of being a racist. But then you used to call up and counter these smart, I won't use the term that Biden used. Of course, I don't have that kind of mouth.
Yeah.
But it's been really interesting how you stuck with us these last two and a half years. And you were our friend. And you actually opened up my eyes to Saul Alinsky and to what the progressive agenda was all about. And that's why you're with us. And we hope to continue with you in September. And Clary and I want to shout out a big thank you. We think of you more than a friend. We think of you as family.
Well, I really appreciate that. And Also, I thank both you and Clary that you gave me a home or an opportunity to voice my opinion, which in a lot of circles is not welcomed. That's where I gained my nickname of being Mr. Right, is because I am on the right side of the aisle, a conservative, and I believe that happens to be right, and no matter how you look at it. So I'm glad I opened up your eyes, and they can't handle the truth, and I can see that you both enjoy calling that to their attention, because now you look at things differently.
Well, we call anyone who loves the God, loves this country, loves Israel, and loves, yes, God, Christians, are our friends and our family.
And love America.
Yeah, the
Constitution,
Christian Judaic principles, and they always will be right.
Okay, now, I only have you on to quarter after. I have someone who will be on the line by then. There's an interesting story that America needs to be aware of, okay? Because now with the health care plans, and there are organizations out there to basically get on the coattails of Obama health care to cause a national health care, basically government takeover. Insurance companies are going to become fewer. They don't want to deal with it. They can't afford the higher premiums. A lot of people outing out of their own insurance, hoping to get free insurance or pay the minimum tax. But this is something that America has to be aware of. Today, and this actually was broken by CNN, VA hospitals may have infected 1,800 people, 800 veterans with HIV by using unsterile dental equipment.
Well, again, the agencies that you just mentioned are government agencies. You know, everyone's well-meaning. Everyone wants to do the right thing. Most people don't want to do something malicious or illegal, but we are all humans, and there is no reason to believe the government can do things better than what we can, and we're just watching the incompetence of which is continuing of allowing politics as opposed to common sense of being in control of your own destiny. And I also want to point something out, if I may, because I know I have limited time. This particular show this morning is we're at the end of June, the last day of June, and for you public school people, that's a day before July. And when we next meet, which will be the beginning of September, besides football starting, I believe that we are going to be far in a different place. I believe that the Israel-Iran thing will have happened or will be in progress. I want you to all remember that and play back this tape of what's happening. So when we come back, the world, unfortunately, and this great country, I think, will be in a worse place.
Well, you
and
know
keep
what
in
else?
Mind what's going on.
You know what else is very possible? By the time we do get back, President Barack Obama knows he's only going to be a one-term president, may give amnesty to, 11 to 12 million illegal aliens, including terrorists that snuck in as from the Mexico-U.S. border. And that's
well, I agree that I wouldn't put it past him, but I believe in the next couple months there's going to be far more issues that he's going to have to deal with, not one on his agenda. You know, like maybe a third war and the unemployment rate and the oil spill will probably still be in play. There's just a lot of stuff going on, and I'm just saying I just hope that it doesn't get much worse the next time we meet.
But we know he doesn't deal with anything. He just stirs up a lot of trouble, starts a lot of fires in different places, and go play golf.
Yeah, well, it just galls me. This past week, he's sitting in a hamburger joint, sharing a hamburger and French fries with the Soviet premier. While we have 10 spies, Russian spies, in this country. It is hypocrisy and stupidity all wrapped up in one. We couldn't make this stuff up.
Now, it's kind of frightening what's taking place, and I had to think to myself that when I heard the story broke, that Barack Obama really wanted that story to hit the news media, or is he embracing these people in our country? Because his mindset, certainly not like yours or mine or the listeners who believe in America that we inherit from our parents and that was founded by our forefathers. This man inherits, this man has a whole different view that aligns with Castro, Hugo, Soviet Union, and so on.
Well,
so
you agree. I want to call attention as I'm getting ready to have to leave. The stock market yesterday took this the biggest tumble since 2009 for a quarter, and we are now below 10,000. In 2 months, what we're going to see is probably the same thing or worse. And an unemployment at this date is 10%, and the debt is outrageous. We still have the oil spill going on. We're still in Iraq. We're still in Afghanistan. Korea is an issue, and so is Iran and Israel. Remember that on June 30th when we come back on September 1st. Let's go over that. And remember, God bless America.
And Lawrence, God bless you, and thank you for being part of our show. We will be back in touch in 2 months, but of course, you and I talk every day. So have a good day.
Goodbye.
And on the line right now, we have Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. Matt, welcome to Reality Check Live.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
You know, Matt, we were finishing up for the summer. We're going to be taking our show down to Trinidad on September 1st, and we're going to be broadcasting probably from a Christian station there and into Little Rock off the 50,000-watt station. 880, and I was thinking about the people I wanted on today because this will be the last time in 2 months, and you are one of them, and I am so thankful that your schedule was available to be with us for this next 15 minutes. And I just want to say this about Liberty Counsel. You have been probably the most influenced and our favorite guest that we have talked to in 3.5 years. You have taught me so much about America, its history, its Constitution, and Claire and I just want to say thank you so much for being a friend of Reality Check Live.
Well, thank you. It's certainly a pleasure to be with you. It's a pleasure to know you. And we look forward to the launch of your new radio program in the fall. We have enjoyed being on your show and really appreciate your ministry.
And we're hoping to be back up in April, like we were the past April, at the conference that you will be holding. I hope you're going to have another one. What was it, Claire?
Awakening.
That's right. We are going to have another Awakening. This one's going to be April 8 and 9. It's going to be on Friday and Saturday. So that's April 8 and 9, we'll have the Awakening. So we look forward to having you there.
We will be there. We'll do everything in our power to get there. Now, something very interesting taking place, and it's kind of shocking to a lot of us conservatives, especially those that believe in the foundation of America, is the Supreme Court nominee, Kagan, and what she stands for. And I'm through and
well,
pass.
Go ahead.
Matt. Go ahead, Matt. So we're just... You know, we're just seeing some of the things that you wrote that she stands for is quite disturbing.
Yeah, it's very disturbing. And in fact, if you look at the military, she's defended her position on excluding recruiters from the Harvard Law School campus because of the homosexual issue. She has indicated that she has a hard time taking off her advocate's hat and putting on a judge's hat. Well, that's in fact what a judge is doing. They don't have an advocate's hat. They have a judge hat. And so we're going to be nominating and voting on person who still is an advocate. I think she's mentioned several other things that she's tried to avoid some of the tough issues. She has written before that these kinds of hearings are sort of a farce because people don't get into the substantive issues, but she's doing everything she can to try not to get into some of the substantive issues. But in fact, if you go look at her past history, she's advocated socialism. She is a very radical liberal in her ideology. She is very capable of bringing consensus to people to support her particular viewpoint, so that makes her even more of a threat. But in terms of judicial activism, look who she has worked for and who she admires. Mikva was her first judge that she worked for, a very radical liberal. Then Thurgood Marshall, she says, we owe the Constitution to him, not to the Founding Fathers. Well, he was a judicial activist. Then Barak, the judge that's retired over in Israel, he believed that judges were social scientists and they should read into a statute things that are relevant to the changing times. In other words, that judges have the power and they have the duty to rewrite the actual words and meaning of a statute. She says that he is her judicial hero. So that's not the kind of person we need on the United States Supreme Court.
You know, We all choose professions that we are passionate about, right? Because that's where our heart is. And there is no way she can be a judge and not put her passions into her decisions. And that's, you know, it's the foundation of why we choose the profession that we do. Don't you think?
I think so. I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is the judge ought to be, as John Roberts said, an umpire, neutrally and objectively calling the balls or strikes as they come across the plate. They don't throw the pitch. They don't swing the bat. They don't run around the bases. They just call the shots as they come across the plate. That's what a judge does. But in Kagan's world, she has a predetermined goal. She wants to be on the team that's going to win. So she's going to get out there and not only run the bases, swing the bat, and throw the pitch, she's going to change the rules of the game so that she ultimately wins. We've seen that with regards to the issue of abortion. We've seen some of the deviousness that she has done while she was with the Clinton administration. She has actually authored policy papers, knowing that partial birth abortion was not a procedure that was ever necessary, but she presented it as though it would be necessary and presented that as a viable reason for continuing partial birth abortion, when in fact she knows from the medical testimony that they reviewed at the time that it was never medically necessary.
You know what's interesting, too? She encouraged President Clinton to sign a cloning law providing that the clone embryo was killed prior to birth. Now, let me explain that to you, folks. That means a baby is going through the birth canal, and before it literally goes through, they could kill that child in that birth canal just seconds away from being a live birth, as we would call it, out of the mother's womb. That is murdering of a baby. But she's okay with that because of the embryo cloning law. She's all for that, and that's kind of sick. That is almost so disgusting that we would even have someone like that sitting and being nominated to be a Supreme Court judge, because she could be there about, 20, 30, 40 years?
That's right. I mean, she's in her early 50s, so she could be there a long time. I mean, you look at Stevens, he just retired, and he is, you know, in the 90s area, so she could be there quite a long time. If you're talking about 3-4 decades, that's a number of presidents that she would live through on the bench. And if you have somebody who's all they need to do is convince one or two people toward her particular point of view and bring in transnational law, international law, as a means to interpret American law, you've got some real significant threats to our freedom and to the rule of law and to our Constitution.
You know, this was kind of threatening, too. And I got this all from your emails that you've been sending out, your newsletters, that the dean of Harvard Law School, Kagan, removed the constitutional law from the list of requirement courses and replaced it with international law. Isn't that kind of scary? Is that like saying we're going to do away with the sovereignty of America, we're going to do away with our Constitution, our law, and we're going to embrace whatever comes out of the U.N.?
Yeah, isn't that bizarre? That came out yesterday in her questioning, but she never really addressed it very well. She was asked why they did away with constitutional law, and yet they still have now. They've brought in a requirement to take international law. That's a requirement now. That's not a requirement in any law school that I know of other than Harvard, and they brought it in 2003 under Kagan's leadership there. And then they removed constitutional law, which is a requirement in most every law school because it's tested on the bar exam. They removed it as a requirement. And she said yesterday, well, they thought that the first-year students were not ready for those complex issues. All right, fine. What about the second-year students? Do they have to take it? No. What about the third-year students? Do they have to take it? No. She was never asked that question and never explained why those second and third year students would not be required to take the constitutional law course. So, I mean, that shows you right where she is. You have to take an international law and policy course, which no other school really that I know of requires. It's an elective, if any. And no longer are you required to take a constitutional law course, which most schools require as a required class.
You know, education has gone really way down to the place where America doesn't seem to be America anymore. And it seems like with the this administration, they're pushing everything to destroy the core of the United States of America. And it's a scary thing to think that maybe a few years down the line, there'll be no United States of America, or there'll be the United States of Islam, or there'd be the United States of Mexico or something else. Isn't it terrible that even educational system have swung so much that it's almost like everything about the United States or the foundation of the United States is eliminated from the school system?
Well, that's exactly, I think, the direction of this particular administration is to run as far away and as fast as he can from the United States of America and our founding principles. I think one of the things he's also trying to do is he's trying to create a shadow government. He's trying to infiltrate the government and change the governmental structure by the appointment process and also, more particularly, by the people who are civil servants, forcing civil servants out because of uncomfortable work environments, putting other civil servants in there to replace them, and then putting in political appointments so that no matter what happens in the elections, he has this infrastructure that's in place that continues on no matter whether the people reject his policies. So someone who comes in later is going to have their hands, their job cut out for them to really undo a lot of the damaging policies and people and principles and procedures that he is putting in place right now.
Well, when she was with Justice Marshall, she wrote an article, a law review, and she you know, she agreed with the statement that the Constitution was defective and contaminated, outdated motions as originally drafted. This is kind of scary, and it's not kind of scary. It is absolutely disgusting, and what's really shameful that the senators would even consider nominating or approving the nomination. We expect that from Barack Obama. But I know there's Democrats, and I know there's Republicans who believe in our Constitution, but will they once again, the Democrats, put party before nation, and we have this type of person sitting on the court? All we need is one more court member to leave, a conservative to leave, and all suddenly the 5-4s go in favor of the liberal agenda.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's very critical. I think people ought not to be fooled into thinking that this won't tip the 5-4 votes that we have, that it's just another liberal vote to replace Stevens. The problem is yes, it is that, but it's more than that. Unlike Souter, that did not socialize with the other justices, sort of was to himself, she's an individual who, in fact, does socialize, does politic, and does spend a lot of her time trying to convince people to come to her particular point of view. And she's good at doing that. And that's a very liberal point of view. So she's going to have a lot of sway on the court to influence one or two of the justices on some of these close, controversial cases so that these 5-4 votes that we would otherwise win could be 5-4 votes that we might now lose.
You know, Matt, about 2 years ago when I started to realize the infiltration of the last 3 years of political correctness and Islam in this nation, wasn't Harvard offering up a course in Sharia law? Was that true? That's what I heard like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, they. In fact, she actually brought in some people for Sharia law, and which is kind of ironic that she brings in people to teach Sharia law, but then excludes the military. I mean, just think of these two contrasts. The military is not welcome. Sharia law is. And then, on the other hand, international law is now required. Constitutional law is no longer required. What does that tell you? I mean, just those two facts alone tell you a lot about Elena Kagan and her philosophy.
And it's really interesting when you see political correctness and Islam in this nation working side by side to shut down the voice of Christian and Judea and those who believe in our principles, who our founding fathers believed in those principles. They are working side by side to shut it down. And it seems like they're still a minority, maybe 20-22% totally with the liberals and the Islamic groups. And yet I'm hoping that this November that the Christian and the Jewish people of this nation rise up, and people who believe in our freedoms will go to the voting polls and make a change. So at least that we can, you know, basically veto what this president wants to do and reverse some laws.
But we also have to pray that God will supernaturally intervene, because we don't have a say in whether this Kagan is nominated or not, because we're not in a position to let our voices be heard, except that we can call our Congress people. But at least we could pray and ask God to have mercy on us and not allow another radical liberal to be in the Supreme Court.
That's right. Well, you know, I think here's what we need to do. First of all, on this issue, we need to make our voice known to our senators. We have on Liberty Counsel's website an email. You can go to lc.org and you can sign up for the Liberty Action email. And that is something that we are sending out to people so that you can respond and make your voice known. I think that we need to do everything we can to stop this nomination. Secondly, continue to pray and get involved in the elections this November. And every time that the ballot box is open, make sure that you go and vote your Christian values. And also make sure you take other people with you, because elections do matter. And notwithstanding what happens between now and November, if you have a sea change of people with different philosophies and understandings of our founding principles in November, that will stop a lot of this radicalism that President Obama is shoving down the throats of the American people.
They can even starve the health care. Matt, I promise to get you off at 10:30. Once again, Clary and I, each month, folks, we donate a small amount of money to the Liberty Council because they are fighting the battle that's going to make a difference for our freedoms. But once the Christians and the Jewish beliefs are lost in this country, then they're going to start taking away every other freedom. So, Matt, how can we get behind you?
Well, you can go to our website at lc.org. You can sign up right there for the Liberty Council Action email. You can also give a secured credit card contribution online. And you can also call us toll-free, 1-800-671-1776. That's 800-671-1776. Or, again, the website is lc.org.
Matt, thank you so much for being part of Reality Check Live. You are a blessing, and thank you for the encouragement that you give us every week.
Thank you. God bless. It's great to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Folks, we'll be right back after the break with Dan Gaynor of Culture and Media Institute and Media Research.
While you're away, don't forget to write.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
BMMI is a Sarasota-based masonry company providing complete structural concrete services and products and equipment rental for custom residential properties and waterfront homes. With 30 years of high-performance operations in the greater Manatee, Sarasota region, BMMI has achieved an outstanding reputation for thoroughness on the job and quality in the products and services that they provide. Covering a geographic area from Palmetto to Venice, including the Keys, BMMI is well known for tackling difficult residential layouts with consistently superior results. Call 941-377-5376 today to find out how BMMI can help you. That's 941-377-5376. 941-377-5376. BMMI, quality you can build on.
The United States Constitution, viewer discretion advised. I'm Garrett Messmacher, and that's coming up next. A recent publication of the United States Constitution now comes with a warning label on the first page. Wilder Publications, who has been printing the Constitution and Declaration of Independence, is advising people to beware of its contents. Their warning label says, "This book is a product of its time and does not reflect the same values as it would if it were written today. Parents might wish to discuss with their children how views on race, gender, sexuality, ethnicity, and interpersonal relations have changed since this book was written, before allowing them to read this classic work." The warning label sends a message of danger and claims that the values in the Constitution are no longer relevant. However, these values are the basis for one of the most richly blessed nations in the world. They are no less true and maybe even more valuable today than they were 200 years ago. Be encouraged. The Constitution means the same today as it did then. To get frequent quotes from the Founding Fathers on how the Bible laid the groundwork for America, check out our Twitter account, Liberty Council, or visit lc.org.
Liberty Council is a religious civil liberties education and legal defense organization. For more information, call 1-800-671-1776.
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
I'll be alone each and every night. While you're away, don't forget to write.
Bye-bye, so long, farewell.
welcome back to Reality Check. Once again, a reminder that today's our last day on the air for 3 months. We will be back at the same time slot that we are on today in Little Rock at KLRG 880 from 9 to 10 Central Time. I want to thank the folks who have been listening to us at 1340 and 1350, the Pan Talk. We appreciate you. And we're hoping to get sponsors so we can stay in that particular area. We do, we've done well out there in Arkansas, so we're able to stay there because the sponsors are there for us. And if anybody's interested in helping us out to stay in the Tampa area and Clearwater or even Sarasota, give us an email. It's realitycheck.live@yahoo.com. Realitycheck.live@yahoo.com. And so just in a couple of minutes, we're going to get a hold of Dan Gaynor.
So yes, but I just want to say, anyone who would like a bumper sticker that says, don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. You can go to lc.org, and they will send you a bumper sticker. It says, don't tread on me.
You know, one of the things that it's really strange, and people that know Clary and I, they wonder, how did Mike and Clary ever go to the radio or get on radio and talk about political things? I had no desire. I never got involved in the political issues. But I started to study the cultural issues about 3.5 years ago. I was on a mission trip into Niger, and I really felt God impressed in my heart to take a look at the cultural. And I never realized what was going on, like most Americans, most godly, God-fearing Americans didn't know what was going on. And the first thing, Clary, when we enter into the cultural battle, we understood, you know, start to get a little information. What was shocking was California SB 777 law. And that was a bill that's actually passed, improved by the PTA, and they wanted this to happen in their school systems, and it is. And basically what this is, it's a law saying that if your boy goes to school and he relates as a girl, he gets to use the girls' bathroom, the girls' locker room, join the girls' team, and vice versa. A young lady who thinks she's masculine, the man, she could do the same thing. And this was so shocking that they would allow something like this. And Clay, I was a radical teen. You know, I was on drugs. You know, I was a biker and everything like that before I became a Christian at age 27. I could imagine going to school, and I used to go to school, unfortunately, under the influence a lot, that I would pretend to be a girl just to sit in those locker rooms and watch the girls. Now, could you imagine what that would do to someone's teenage girl that's, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old and seeing some pervert sitting there, you know, and, you know, it would just freak out a young lady. And then you would have to think, how often would there be sex going on in the shower rooms or in the bathrooms? Because these things happen. Just like when we were in Orlando at a huge youth conference, this girl who probably lived in the backwoods ended up having sex in a swimming pool with a total stranger. Things weird happen. Now they're actually having these type of things happening. And that's how sick and perverted our government's gotten. And they have to pervert our children, and this is something for Americans to be alarmed about.
Well, the fact is that we parents have not been actually monitoring our children. We say that our children are good, and so therefore we let them do what they want on the internet, and we let them go to school, and we throw them actually to the wolves, because the school system, the public school system, is no longer a school system. It's not a place of education. It's a place of indoctrination. And when the kids are graduating, half of them can't read or write, or they can't even spell their own names properly. And then again, the texting, you text when you, everybody who knows about texting, you use letters for four and numbers for four and things like that, instead of typing things out. And it's a slipshod society we've got right now, that our children are being left out in the cold. And the school system is raising them and teaching them or training them or indoctrinating them in the ways that we really didn't want them to. And on the line right now, we have Dan Gaynor. He's the Vice President of Business and Culture for the Media Research Center. Dan, welcome to Reality Check Live.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Doing good.
Dan, we're doing fine. This is going to be our last show for 2 months. And I know we normally have you on a Friday, but I really want to... you to be here because culture and media and media research has been with us now for 2 years. So thank you for making time and changing your schedule to be with us today.
Oh, happy to do it. Really am.
Now, Dan, before we get into the subject today, I have to ask you a question. Now, in the past 2 years, when Barack Obama, the nominee, became the nominee for the Democratic Party, and then after he became president, what difference have you seen in, say, the mainstream media, our ABC, CBS, the one that the media that America trusted for news? Has there been a difference since then, or has it been on the same slope all these years and we didn't notice?
Well, I mean, I think, well, first of all, you have to go back to the beginning of the campaign when the media really liked not Barack Obama, but Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And, I mean, they were like, I don't know, I guess, you know, a teenager infatuated with Hillary Clinton. They thought she would answer all their problems, do everything, you know, like, oh, my God, she's the love of their life, until they met the love of their life. And as soon as they did, they threw her over, like yesterday's, day-old bread or something.
Yeah.
Then
last week's girlfriend.
They wanted to be with Obama. They supported Obama in the campaign in unprecedented ways. And since then, it's been pretty much a steady line of this is a guy they're on the team with. And you look, no matter what, whether it was health care or the BP oil spill or whatever, they have been on his side trying to make him look good consistently.
And how successfully have they been?
Well, I mean, his campaign, they won. I mean, they didn't win, but I mean, they certainly got the guy they wanted. In fact, they got both guys they wanted. They helped push both the most liberal candidates in either party. And so you ended up in a campaign where you had a very liberal Barack Obama running against a somewhat liberal John McCain. And so anytime you're arguing between two liberal candidates, I think the American public and the media certainly are going to push to pick the more liberal one, because the one's just kind of not really sure he's good at what he's not really convincing as a conservative. He's just not really convincing as anything. Since then, they've done their best to make him always look good in some of the bad situations. It hasn't entirely worked, but it's been enough to give him cover to get the stimulus passed. It's enough to give him cover to get a lot of things passed that a lot of people don't like.
And the whole thing is, though, it really isn't working. They are losing more and more impact and influence over the American people, because the American people are going through the internet. They turn to Fox News. There's so many, where I get most of my news, I go with a media research every single day. I'm checking out Newsbusters, Culture and Media, Business and Media. You guys have been a tremendous inspiration to the truth, because I'll sit there and listen to CNN and think, wow, that's interesting, until I hear the other side of the argument. And I'm thinking, yeah, once again, they try to deceive us. So I want to thank you so much for dedicating your life to pointing out the truth in the media, because the media was designed by our founding fathers to be the watchdogs, to keep the politicians from becoming corrupt, and to, basically to report on things that are truthful, and they have failed miserably. And if what could be one of the downfalls of our nation if it wasn't through groups like yours, Dan.
Well, thank you very much. And I really mean this, not just you and, your show and all, but even your listeners. We can't do it without people listening, hearing what we have to say and taking it to heart, acting on it, doing something about it. And
right.
That's the problem we've got right now. Getting the word out, we are still competing with the major media broadcast networks. Came out their latest numbers for their evening news shows showed a decline. They're a little less than 20 million viewers for ABC, CBS, and NBC.
And
now, that's still 20 million when Fox is getting a little over 3. So that's part of the problem. And then you also, those numbers, Nielsen numbers, don't take into account how many people are watching that online.
Right.
We have our work cut out for us, I guess, my point.
We sure do, because let's face it, the mainstream, the liberal agenda, they have not only the media, they have the education, and right now they have the power in Washington. Now, there's a very interesting story that Katie Bell put out on Culture and Media Institute. It was Media Spin, Supreme Court Gun Roar ruling a loss of state rights. Now, this is very interesting because when I think of mainstream media, I think they want a central government. They want to do away with all state and county and city rights, and they want to be in control of everything. And the long-term goal is to do away with the sovereignty and to become maybe a planetarium-type rule. And for them to sit there and say, what a blow to cities and states' sovereignty or rights to govern, that was like, I don't know what that's like.
Well, I mean, this shows the level of hypocrisy that we're fighting on the other side. Because, let's face it, every other time states' rights comes up, they list all the states that were in the Confederacy, play Dixie, show the Confederate flag. I mean, they really go after it as being racist. They did it with health care. When a lot of states did not like the health care bill or were talking about opting out, let's go after them. And now for them to turn around and suddenly care about states' rights, it's a stunning development. It just shows that they will contort themselves any way they can to go after Second Amendment rights.
Yeah, when I think about the Constitution, I'm thinking it is the limited of government power over a citizen. It is to protect us from being ruled, controlled, manipulated, to have a dictatorship. Our Constitution limits what government could do to its citizens, but yet provide the safety and what is necessary for the citizens of this country to prosper. They view the Constitution as something that is outdated, that is something that needs to be changed, something that is basically a horrified document. And all suddenly, they're going after city and state's rights. And then for them to even say something like that, I was thinking, Dan, for them to even say something like that, because now they're on the record, it's like me taking castor oil because I had to be cleaned out. This, they're not doing it for the same reason, but it's all about manipulating their stance. And if their stance, if you agree with their stance, they're going to love you. And if you disagree with their stance, they'll take a 180 turn and become just the opposite. It's just their mindset.
Yeah, and what's worse is we saw the Supreme Court do this. This is not just the sleazier people in the media or, the standard generic talking heads on the left. This is the Supreme Court, which, historically speaking, tries to handle controversial issues, real statements of rights and all, by majority, not just, slim majority, but clear-cut majority. The court had already ruled in Heller that there is an individual right to gun ownership. This was simply a reaffirmation of that applies everywhere. Instead, we get this strident disagreement, from the liberal wing of the court, and making it clear that if the libs end up getting control of the Supreme Court, they're going to do everything they can to squelch Second Amendment rights.
Right. Everything will turn overnight because right now we only have a 5-4 decisions on things that are constitutional, that conservatives believe in. And that could turn with a single justice that you don't know what's going to happen in the next few years. And we still have President Barack Obama for at least 2 years or some months. We don't really know what's going to happen, that a conservative has to step down, becomes ill, they put someone else in. That's the end of all our freedoms. And this is quite surprising that they are allowing this to happen.
And if anybody's listening right now who doesn't like guns and thinks, well, I don't really care if they take away my gun rights, I will tell you something. 2 points. One, the gun right is the right that ensures all the other rights. There are reasons why we have not had a despot in a couple hundred years here, because Americans are armed, and that kind of keeps people in line. No one's talking about revolution, not going to happen. But it is a good check and balance against out-of-control government. But the other point, even if you don't like that point, if they take away gun rights and get away with it, they can take away any other right and get away with it just as easily.
I read an article not long ago about the different nations who have actually had their gun rights withdrawn. And the article said that crime has tripled in lots of those areas because the ones who are the criminals know that you're not going to be able to defend yourself, and therefore they take advantage of it. People are scared because they know that you have a gun and they may face it, even though the criminals are still will take a chance. But the crime increased tremendously when the gun laws were squashed.
And close to home, I mean, you're entirely right. Close to home, let's look at Chicago. The court ruling was about Chicago. Chicago has banned guns, And they shoot people by the dozen over there, by the dozen, to the point where you've got people talking about, you know, calling out National Guard or something for the city. Well, maybe that's because all the criminals have guns and all the good people do not.
You know, it's interesting. Years and years ago, there was a city in California, and I was trying to locate it because I saved a lot of the articles. I couldn't find it. That made it mandatory for everyone to own a gun, and except for those that had a conscientious rejection type mindset, they got an exception. What's the word? I can't talk to it. She wasn't paying attention. But you understand what I'm saying? Now the rate of crime went down tremendously because everybody had a gun. Look what happened when Australia took all the guns away from its citizens. Crime went up 800% for violence crimes against its people.
Yeah, I know. And you look at the United States, where concealed carry permits are up around the nation, gun ownership is up around the nation, gun violence, you know, violence is down. So this whole theory that, oh, you get a bunch of yahoos, because that's what they always say, are going to go run around guns and they're going to shoot people, they don't have to. The threat of gun ownership is enough to keep a lot of people in line.
But the fact is that the liberal government believes that if you have a gun, you may protect yourself from what they plan to do with us. I don't know for sure what they plan to do with us, but that one thing I know that they're planning to control even the very air that we breathe.
Yeah, you look at some of the crazy bills that politicians have put forth in the last few years. California, when they were trying to regulate what you could set your thermostat at, and that they would have remote control over your thermostat. I mean, come on. If that's not an argument to get off the grid entirely, I don't know what is. But you can't escape government, so you have to make sure the government does what we all want it to do, not what a few people in the elite left want to do.
Now, we have a couple minutes before we have to go on, and one of the stories that I found very interesting is how the mainstream media is covering the Senate hearings with Kagan. And Chris Matthews made a statement that Sessions is the voice of the Confederacy. GOP wants to make Kagan into a voodoo doll. Now, where did they come up with these statements?
Well, I mean, you remember Mad Libs when we were kids?
Yeah, I used to get
okay. Well, I think you've just kind of gotten a hint about how the left kind of does some of its attacks. You know, it's like, okay, generically this person did something. It's as crazy as and just fill in the blank with, you know, something and, you know, doing it to this person. But just basically it's like fill in the blank. Okay, well, we pull from a list of things we do. Well, we always blame race. So, okay, he's a racist. We always blame, okay, they're gender bigots. I mean, you know, Kagan, okay, well, because they're talking about her upbringing in a community that's very liberal. Oh, well, that must be racist because they hate Jewish people. No?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just generic talking points done by lazy people who aren't smart enough or talented enough to come up with something good to say.
You know, what's the one thing that, say, a listener can do, because they hear our side of the argument and they're probably shaking their head and agreeing with us, but at the same time, they'll listen to MSN or CNN or something and shake their head and agree with them. That's something I noticed, that people really don't know how to form an opinion anymore. I don't think they're really taught how to form an opinion or a foundation of statement in their own lives. What can we do to discover the truth, and how do we hold on to it?
Well, first of all, you know, this is a democracy founded on knowledge about what's going on. You know, you look at the founding fathers, they all knew what was going on in their country or what became their country. And that's why we're free. That means there's a responsibility. Everybody's listening to this program is already taking some of that responsibility. They're trying to learn what they need to know, what's going on. They need to read the mainstream news because that is what is affecting politics in Washington. They need to make sure that they're familiar with conservative positions on these things. And frankly, they need to read some liberal stuff too, because then you realize what you're fighting. I mean, anybody who is listening to this program right now considers themselves a Christian. If you don't spend some time looking at liberal websites and realizing how much the left hates Christianity, religious people, or God in general, well, then you're doing yourself a disservice. Because you can go to any one of these websites, Democratic Underground, Daily Kos, and more, and look at them and see the hatred for religious people, the hatred for anybody who believes in God or anything. They think they refer to the great spaghetti monster in the sky. They say, I'm smart. Somebody was talking about a T-shirt that they have today. It's like, okay, you keep your prayer out of your schools, and I'll keep my logic out of your churches. That's what they believe. Well, this is you need to know this, because when the mainstream media regurgitate, and I use that term because it's the right term, regurgitate their talking points, vomit them out onto the media, then you need to know where that comes from, because this is what you're really fighting. You're not fighting the mainstream media. You're fighting the fact that they get their talking points from the left. When we were big involved in this Dave Weigel scandal at the Washington Post, this blogger who left after bashing everything that's conservative, when we went after it, it's because this guy's supposed to be working for a neutral news organization. Well, he and a whole bunch of other people, 400 people, were on this email list, journo list, run by Ezra Klein, who's a big lib, also works at the Washington Post, and had only center or liberal people on it. Well, so that means they're basically sitting there planning their talking points, discussing what the news of the day is, and figuring out how they can skew what's going on in our society. Do you think if you were to look there and find them discussing religion, they'd say anything positive about religion? No. That's why what Andrew Breitbart is doing, offering $100,000 for those emails, that's why they're so scared. Because if it comes out, a whole bunch of people are going to be in trouble for their jobs.
Dan, thank you so much. Tell the listeners how we get a hold of you.
People can find me at cultureandmedia.com. That's cultureandmedia.com.
And we'll be talking to you in 2 months. Thank you so much for being with us, Dan.
Thank you. Take care.
And now it's time for Insights with Dr. Mom, dealing with family issues of the day and discussing a common sense way to solve the problems we're all faced with our families today. That's Insights with Dr. Mom, heard right here on TAN Talk Radio on Reality Check. And now, Dr. Mom.
At a school in the United States, a teacher with the permission of the school superintendent decided to teach the students a special practical lesson. On the first day of school, all the desks were removed from the classroom. As the students arrived, they began to ask, where are the desks? The teacher told them, you can't have a desk until you have earned the right to sit at the desk. The students were asked to think of what they have done to earn the right to sit at the desk. They had lots of questions to which the answers were not their grades or their behavior. At the final class period, the puzzled students pleaded with the teachers, please let us have our desks back. At this point, the teacher opened the classroom door and in walked 27 U.S. veterans, all in uniform, carrying a desk. They placed the desk in rows and they stood against the wall. The teacher allowed the students to sit at the desk and explained, you did not earn the right to sit at these desks, but these heroes did it for you. They placed these desks here for you, and it's up to you to sit at them. It is your responsibility to study, learn, be good students, and become excellent citizens. And don't ever forget it. That day, the students learned the unforgettable lesson that all the freedoms we have is because of our military. Someone, whether in active duty or discharge, at one point in their lives, wrote a blank check made payable to the United States of America for the amount up to and including your life. Their sacrifice is a living gift to all of us. This is Insights with Dr. Mom. All these brave men and women fought for our physical freedom, but we have someone who gave his life for our spiritual freedom. His name is Jesus Christ. Take time to thank Almighty God and our military for the freedoms we enjoy. Then let us hold on to these precious freedoms we are privileged to enjoy here in the United States. You will be glad you did.
We will see you back in September 1st, KLRG 880 from 9 to 10 a.m. God bless you and God bless America.
Listening to Reality Check right here in your TAN Talk Radio Network stations and NetTalk World Global Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in today. To hear more, go to our website, realitychecklive.talkspot.com. We thank all those who listen today and want our troops to know serving in harm's way that we love you and support you. God bless America and all those who defend, protect, and serve her.